Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, July 22nd, 2021. Coming up this hour,
President Biden dismisses concerns about inflation.
Jerome Powell is favored to keep his job as Fed chair.
Senate Republicans block debate on the still unfinished infrastructure plan.
And China pushed back against another probe into the coronavirus's origins.
New York Mayor de Blasio orders healthcare workers to get vaccinated or tested for COVID, plus a committee clash between House Speaker Pelosi and GOP leader McCarthy. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Fourth straight win for the Yankees. They beat the Phillies in 10 innings. They visit the Red Sox tonight. The Mets won in Cincinnati.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good Thursday morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Today's competitive marketplace requires asset managers to become more operationally adept. See how you can transform your business with SEI's global platform at seic.com/IMS.
It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are higher this morning, up 6 points. Dow futures up 63. NASDAQ futures up 20. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 1.29%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, it's the issue that has been atop investors' minds for weeks, and it came up right away at a CNN town hall event for President Biden last night. That issue is inflation. President Biden told the audience in Cincinnati that he does not think rising prices will last.
The vast majority of the experts, including Wall Street, are suggesting that it's highly unlikely that it's going to be long-term inflation that's going to get out of hand. There will be near-term inflation because everything is now trying to be picked back up.
At the same time, the president says some industries will still have issues filling open jobs, particularly hospitality.
People are looking to make more money and to bargain. And so I think your business and the tourist business is really going to be in a bind for a little while.
President Biden says a lot of the inflation is driven by supply shortages and surging demand coming out of the pandemic.
During that town hall, President Biden also talked about his infrastructure proposal just hours after Senate Republicans blocked debate on the plan. And Amy Morris reports from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The plan's not finished, which is why Republicans say it's not time to debate the proposal. This as negotiators continue to hammer out details of the $579 billion package. President Biden still says they can get it done.
I was able to get an awful lot of compromises put together to do really good things, to change things. And I still believe that's possible.
Some Democrats are growing impatient and are advocating dropping the talks and adding the infrastructure package to a planned $3.5 trillion economic measure that they could pass without Republican support. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. Also on the president's agenda, deciding whether Fed Chair Jay Powell serves another term. We get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
Powell enjoys broad support for his renomination among top White House advisors. Even so, we are told a recommendation hasn't yet been put in front of President Biden. A decision is expected later this year. Biden officials are keeping an open mind about how the administration can put its stamp on the Fed through personnel choices. But J.P. Morgan chief economist Michael Feroli says Powell faces an uphill challenge. Feroli says left-leaning voices in the administration likely will not want a Republican like Powell to remain chair. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Doug, thank you. In Europe, a key policy decision in less than 3 hours from now from the European Central Bank. It'll be the ECB's first policy announcement after raising its inflation target to 2%. Investors will want to know what this means for interest rates and bond purchases.
All right, now the latest on the pandemic. China is pushing back against another probe into the coronavirus's origins. We get more live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. This World Health Organization probe would include examining whether the coronavirus coronavirus leaked from a lab. China says there's no evidence for that theory and that it defies common sense. A group of top Chinese science officials instead insisted that the pathogen most likely arose in an animal, which passed it to humans through an intermediate host. Now, while China has consistently rejected the lab hypothesis, officials are drawing a line in the sand this time, signaling Beijing won't engage in the hunt if the theory remains in play. This is China's most direct pushback to date on calls to investigate the lab. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. Turning to the markets, a warning from Scott Miner, Chairman and Chief Investment Officer of Guggenheim Investments. He says stocks could be in for a big decline this fall.
September and October are likely to be very rough this year. Maybe a pullback of 15% or slightly more. But once the Dodgers are at the opening game in the World Series, I think you'll be able to buy it.
Guggenheim's Scott Minard also tells Bloomberg he thinks Bitcoin may drop to the 15,000 level.
Well, Minard's prediction contrasts optimism at a Bitcoin conference yesterday. Elon Musk said SpaceX owns Bitcoin and Tesla will most likely resume accepting it for payment. Investor Kathy Wood said corporations should consider adding Bitcoin to their balance sheets, partly as a hedge against deflation. Well, checking Bitcoin right now, it is a little bit lower on the session. It's higher on the session, actually, $32,119.
On the earnings front, Twitter has an easy bar to clear when it reports today. And Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has a preview.
Wall Street analysts see a modest 10% increase in Twitter's monthly daily active users. And Bloomberg Intelligence says the company could easily top that. Twitter didn't benefit as much from demand from small and mid-sized e-commerce advertisers during the pandemic, and our analysts believe its large advertisers are likely to increase spending as the economy reopens. Analysts are forecasting a profit of roughly 7 cents a share on revenue of about $1 billion. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thanks. On earnings out already, shares of Texas Instruments are down more than 4% in early trading. The chipmaker gave a revenue forecast for the current period that disappointed some investors, raising concerns that the jump in chip demand caused by the pandemic will be short-lived.
And shares of Las Vegas Sands are down more than 3%. The casino operator reported second quarter results that trailed Wall Street estimates. It was hurt by continued travel restrictions in Macau and Singapore. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
And at 5:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr to look what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says workers in New York City-run hospitals and healthcare clinics will have to make a choice, get vaccinated or get tested weekly. It's under Mayor de Blasio's new policy to battle a rise in COVID-19 cases fueled by the Delta variant.
Every single one of those employees has a choice. Get vaccinated, the better choice, or get tested weekly. And at any point, you could decide, hey, I'm ready to get vaccinated. Then you don't need to get tested weekly anymore.
De Blasio didn't rule out eventually applying the same requirement to teachers, police officers, and other city employees. Disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein has pleaded not guilty in a Los Angeles courtroom to 4 counts of rape and 7 other sexual assault counts. On Tuesday, Weinstein was extradited to California from New York, where he was serving a 23-year prison term. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy says he has pulled his 5 Republican picks for the select committee charged with investigating the January 6th Capitol riot. It comes after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's decision to reject 2 of McCarthy's picks, Jim Jordan and Jim Banks. McCarthy called it an abuse of power. But one House Republican who was invited by Pelosi says she will be there. Congresswoman Liz Cheney slammed McCarthy.
There are 3 members that the minority leader proposed that the speaker did not object to. She has objected to 2 members. And the rhetoric around this from the minority leader and from those 2 members has been disgraceful.
Cheney said the select committee is the only option Congress has after Republicans blocked an independent commission. One of the members involved in New Jersey's Bridgegate scandal wants to resurrect her political career. Last year, the Supreme Court tossed Bridget Kelly's conviction. The ex-deputy chief of staff to former Republican Governor Chris Christie is running for Bergen County Clerk. It is the same county where traffic lanes were blocked off at the George Washington Bridge in 2013 to punish Fort Lee's mayor, who would not endorse Christie. Kelly contends she was a scapegoat.
The Maine Drug Enforcement Agency says a New York man and a Maine woman had what looked like a marble cake in their car when they were stopped on an interstate after acting on a tip. But the police dogs kept sniffing the cake. That's never good. And what takes the cake is police say the drug-sniffing dog found 4 pounds of cocaine worth $200,000.
That is not marble.
No, not at all. Oh, yeah, they were arrested, by the way. News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Yeah, you never want the dog sniffing. Thank you, Michael. Just about 5:10 on Wall Street. Let's check the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees have lately been using a lot of unfamiliar players wearing high jersey numbers. Last night they started Asher Wojciechowski, 32-year-old that pitched for three major league teams at a career ERA of 6. It was just slightly less than that at AAA Scranton. His Grapefruit League ERA this past spring with the Yanks was 8. But he did okay against the Phillies, and the Yanks had a 5-2 lead in the eighth inning. The Phillies tied the game off Zach Britton. The game was tied at 5 in the 10th.
Here's Lamar. Swung on, and he's going to win the game. A high fly to deep right. Miller back, away back. The ball lands, I think, in the stands. The game is over. Sanchez scores, and the Yankees win it 6-5.
On WFAN, not a home run. Long single. Ryan Lamar, another of the guys just called up. Yanks bring their four-game win streak to Boston tonight. Start a four-game set with the first-place Red Sox. Mets are off. They'll host Toronto tomorrow. They won 7-0 in Cincinnati. Marcus Stroman was outstanding. Allowed only one hit in 80 innings, a grand slam for Dom Smith. The NHL expansion draft was held. The brand-new Seattle Kraken took one player from each team. The Islanders lost one of their better players, Jordan Eberle, fourth-leading scorer on the team. The Rangers lost center Colin Blackwell. Hot rumor from college sports that Texas and Oklahoma are looking to leave the Big 12 Conference to join the SEC. Bobby Bowden, the former legendary football coach at Florida State, now 91 years old, has what his family calls a terminal medical condition. Bowden said in a statement that he's at peace. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures up 5 points now. Dow futures up 59. NASDAQ futures up 23. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. Now the yield 1.28%. This is Bloomberg. And it's just before 5:12 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning with global equities set for the biggest three-day rally since April. This is earnings optimism outweighs concerns about growth hiccups and coronavirus flare-ups. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 6 points, Dow futures up 65. NASDAQ futures up 23. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. Yield 1.28%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1% or 68 cents at $70.98 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $6.60 at $1,800.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.1795 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3732. And the yen is at 110.25. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The average daily number of COVID-19 infections has more than tripled in a month in the U.S. It is because of the rapid spread of the Delta variant. The CDC predicts that the rate of COVID deaths will continue to rise well into August. Meanwhile, President Joe Biden reiterated his call for unvaccinated Americans to get their shot.
We have a pandemic for those who haven't gotten the vaccination. Is that basic, that simple?
The president spoke during a CNN town hall. Senate Republicans blocked debate on a vast and still unfinished infrastructure plan, rejecting Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's drive to forge ahead while negotiators from both parties struggled to complete details of the $579 billion package. Major League Baseball, the Yankees and Mets won. The Red Sox and Giants were also winners. The Nationals and Orioles lost.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get more now on our top story this morning. Something else that came out of President Biden's town hall with CNN in Cincinnati. He faced questions about inflation from the fully vaccinated audience and played down concerns that rising prices will last as the economy pulls out of the pandemic. Let's bring in David Powell this morning, senior euro area economist at Bloomberg Economics. David, it's good to speak with you this morning. And really, this is the debate that's been going on in markets for really months now, hasn't it? President Biden is taking the side that inflation is transitory. Is he right?
Exactly. This is a debate that's going on not only in the U.S. too, but on the other side of the Atlantic, where I join you from. We have this in the U.K., and we also have it in the euro area. So really, all developed economies are having this debate, and the question is this inflation transitory or not? And Biden, in the comments that he recently had, is reflecting the views of his economic advisors as well as those of the Federal Reserve, and that is that this increase in the rate of inflation will be transitory. It's largely due to a base effect from oil prices. So in other words, the sharp decline in oil prices that was seen a year ago is now falling out of the annual comparison. And it's also due to bottlenecks in the supply chain, which over time should disappear. In particular, there are some labor shortages as a result of lots of people having to self-isolate because of the pandemic or not wanting to be working in certain industries in which they face exposure to a lot of people. And also people have relocated during the long period of lockdown. So there's a bit of a mismatch in the labor market as well at the moment. But over time, that should work itself out.
Yeah, so certainly that's one side of the debate, that these shortages and crunches are going to work themselves out as the economy reopens and as demand normalizes. But then you have the other side of the coin, that there is an enormous amount of liquidity in this market driven by central bank policy. What of that?
Well, that is indeed true. There is an enormous amount of liquidity in this market as a result of central bank policy, in particular as a result of quantitative easing or banks printing money to buy assets. But that's not new. That has been around for a long time now. That has been a cornerstone of monetary policy since the global financial crisis, which was more than 10 years ago. And even back in those days, there were lots of concerns from various politicians as well as from some economists that this money printing would result in very high rates of inflation, which never materialized. If anything, in the aftermath of the global financial crisis in the United States, as well as in other developed economies that were undertaking the same policies, low inflation was the problem. So the relationship between the money supply and inflation is not a strong one. It was much stronger several decades ago, and that's where some of these concerns come from. But there really is little evidence to suggest that that this high rate of money supply growth, or as you call it, liquidity in the system, is going to translate into higher inflation tomorrow. The process isn't that direct.
Well, this leads us right into the European Central Bank. We're going to get a decision from them in just a couple hours here. They've got a new inflation goal. What are we expecting to hear?
That's right. Coming back to this topic of inflation, the ECB has had a problem of low inflation, and not only for a couple of years, but really for a long time, since the global financial crisis now. And because it has never really been able to boost inflation, despite endless printing of money and buying of bonds, it had a strategy review recently, much like the Federal Reserve had a strategy review. And the results of that strategy review were released earlier this month. And in it, there's a more forceful commitment for the ECB to meet its inflation target. The inflation target was increased very, very slightly from just under 2% to 2%. So that's not very large. What's much more significant is the commitment to meet it, that if there's an undershoot of inflation, the ECB will do more to make sure that inflation increases. And we think that will be reflected in today's meeting in a change in the forward guidance that the ECB has. So we think it's going to basically say that it will keep interest rates unchanged until inflation is forecast to reach or slightly surpass 2% and remain there for some time, which would be a more aggressive stance than it previously had.
Of course, we'll be watching for that ECB decision. It's coming out 7:45 Wall Street time. President Christine Lagarde's news conference at 8:30. We will have full coverage for you here, of course, on Bloomberg Radio. David Powell, senior Euro area economist for Bloomberg Economics. Thank you for the insights this morning. Appreciate you joining us. Right now, S&P futures up 7 points. Dow futures up 74. NASDAQ futures up 26. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Sunshine, low 80s. Today, tomorrow, and the next day. Finally. Currently 67 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30. On Wall Street, good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
Nathan. And I'm Nathan Hager. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading, so let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. President Biden says he does not think rising prices will last. At a CNN town hall in Cincinnati last night, he said there will be near-term inflation as the economy picks up. He also said restaurants and other hospitality businesses could face hiring challenges for a while as workers look for better wages and benefits.
You know, I always thought the free market system was not only that there's competition among companies, but guess what? Companies should have to compete for workers.
President Biden says it's a matter of workers wanting better opportunities and finding more choices.
Well, Jerome Powell will be the choice for another term as Fed chairman. We get more from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
There's speculation that the more progressive wing of the Democratic Party wants a change, as Powell was nominated by Donald Trump. But Bloomberg sources are saying that Powell enjoys broad support for his renomination among the top White House advisors and that the issue hasn't even been put before the president. Aides say they are considering putting together a package which would include the board term for Governor Richard Clarida, whose term expires in January, Powell's in February. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. The European Central Bank holds a policy meeting later this morning. ECB officials will outline how their new inflation goal affects their intentions for future monetary policy.
China is pushing back against another probe in the coronavirus's origins, and we get more live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. This World Health Organization probe will include examining whether the coronavirus leaked from a lab. China says there's no evidence for that theory and that it defies common sense. A group of top Chinese science officials instead insisted that the pathogen most likely arose in an animal which passed it to humans through an intermediate host. While China has consistently rejected the lab hypothesis, officials are drawing a line in the sand, signaling Beijing will not engage in the hunt if the theory remains in play. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And futures this morning on the rise. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 8 points. Dow futures up 79. NASDAQ futures up 26. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.28%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.21%, and NYMEX crude oil is up 1%. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
5:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr. Find out what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Workers in New York City-run hospitals and health clinics have a new order from Mayor Bill de Blasio.
And every single one of our workers gets vaccinated or gets tested weekly. This will begin on August 2nd.
De Blasio says the new policy comes as the city battles a rise in COVID-19 cases fueled by the highly contagious Delta variant. The order applies to publicly employed nurses, doctors, social workers, custodians, and registrars.
De Blasio didn't rule out eventually applying the same requirement to teachers, police officers, and other city employees. Democrats say the bipartisan committee is proceeding with its investigation into the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. It comes after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi rejected two of Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy's picks. McCarthy called it an abuse of power.
This represents something that has not happened in the House before for a select committee by the historian. It's an egregious abuse of power.
Pelosi rejected McCarthy's picks of Jim Jordan and Jim Banks. However, Republican Liz Cheney, appointed by Democrats, remains on the committee. A judge says victims and families who suffered losses in the collapse of a 12-story oceanfront Florida condominium will get a minimum of $150 million in compensation initially. It does not include proceeds from any of the numerous lawsuits filed since the June 24th collapse that left at least 97 people dead. Senate Republicans have rejected an effort to begin debate on a bipartisan infrastructure deal that senators brokered with President Joe Biden. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says yesterday's procedural vote that was shot down was meant only as a first step as talks progress. President Biden says he is still confident that it will pass, hoping it will bring countless opportunities for middle-class workers.
And we should be looking at it this way. It increases commerce, number one, but guess what? They're good-paying union jobs.
Biden spoke during a CNN town hall in Cincinnati. There will be no black bear hunt in New Jersey this fall for the first time in more than a decade. The State Division of Fish and Wildlife says that the comprehensive black bear management policy required under a 2007 state Supreme Court ruling expired yesterday. Governor Phil Murphy pledged to end the hunt when he ran for governor in 2017, and the following year he halted bear hunting on public lands. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Almost 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, Yankees and Phillies into their mini two-game series at the stadium. Phils led 2-0 against the Yanks emergency starter Asher Wojciechowski. Yanks then got home runs from Gleyber Torres, Rougned Odor. They led 5-2. The Phillies tied it in the eighth, but Ryan Lamar, a game-winning pinch hit in the 10th. Yanks walked it off 6-5. And Aaron Boone's team, with a lot of new players contributing, have now won 4 in a row.
The guys are certainly, you know, feel good that they're playing well and playing with confidence and relishing in different situations that come up in the game and, you know, going out there and executing when it matters. So we got to continue that. We know what Boston is and how good they are.
Yanks have lost the first 7 this year versus the Red Sox, but did just take the last 2. So that series starts tonight at Fenway. The Mets' 50th win, took a day game in Cincinnati 7-0. Marcus Stroman went 8 innings, allowed only 1 hit. Home runs for Luis Guillorme, Jonathan Villar, and a grand slam for Dom Smith. Tomorrow morning, Eastern time, opening ceremonies at the Tokyo Olympics. For the first time, there'll be not one but 2 U.S. flag bearers. 40-year-old Long Island native Sue Bird. This is the 5th straight Olympics she's on the women's basketball team. And Eddie Alvarez, who won a silver medal in the 2014 Winter Games in speed skating. Now he's on the U.S. baseball team. The men's basketball team included Japan with only 8 players, but Zach LaVine's now been cleared to join them after being in COVID protocol. And tomorrow, Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, and Chris Middleton, who all just played in the NBA Finals, will join the squad. The IOC awarded the 2013 Summer Games to Brisbane, Australia, the only city that made a bid. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Hampton's home prices have reached a record high. Median price of homes that changed hands in the second quarter jumped 30% from a year earlier to $1.4 million, the highest in data going back to 2005, according to appraiser Miller Samuel and Douglas Elliman Real Estate. The state of New York estimates that mobile betting will generate $482 million in annual tax revenue, but gambling companies could pay a premium. Dow Jones reports they must offer to pay the state at least 50% of revenues, which some say could reach 60 to 65% in the competitive process. A union representing more than 10,000 workers at Newark, LaGuardia, and JFK has ratified a new 3-year contract. The approval ends more than 3 months of negotiations. The agreement includes improved health and safety guidelines and increased protections against discrimination on the job. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that we may see a break on prices for things like bagels and croissants after all, as the price of the wheat used in those baked goods just dropped the most in a couple of weeks.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Money transfer giant MoneyGram is said to be a takeover target.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the latest UK-EU spat over the Northern Ireland Protocol.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm talking about Whirlpool reporting a 32% increase in quarterly sales.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. We get another reading on the health of the labor market today at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time when the government issues weekly jobless claims data. Economists forecast another drop as Main Street anticipates better days ahead. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
In the prior report, weekly jobless claims fell to a pandemic low, 360,000, after running in the millions last year. Bloomberg Economics says today's report will continue to reflect improving labor market conditions. At the same time, the data could be distorted by seasonal variations, such as auto industry retooling for 2022 models, typical for this time of year. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Vinnie, this may be a sign travel demand is bouncing back. American Airlines is raising its goal for hiring pilots by 50% through next year. That's according to a company memo to pilots. American's new plan calls for putting more than 1,300 new captains in the cockpit through the end of 2022. Right now, S&P futures up 8, Dow futures up 84, NASDAQ futures up 24 points. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.28%. This is Bloomberg. It's just before 5:41 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by SEI. Imagine your asset management firm's operational infrastructure as a competitive advantage. Let SEI show you how at SEIC.com/IMS. U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning, along with global equities. They're set for the biggest three-day rally since April as earnings optimism outweighs concerns about growth hiccups and coronavirus flare-ups. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8.5 points. Dow futures up 83. NASDAQ futures up 28. The DAX in Germany's up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.28%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1% or 72 cents at $71.02 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.33% or $5.90 at $18.01.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1796 against the dollar. British pound 1.3745 and the yen 110.27. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is rejecting two Republicans tapped by House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy to sit on a committee investigating the January 6th Capitol insurrection. McCarthy denounced the decision as an egregious abuse of power and said the GOP would not participate in the investigation if Democrats won't accept the members he appointed. Pelosi cited the integrity of the probe in refusing to accept the appointments of Indiana Representative Jim Banks or Ohio Representative Jim Jordan. The two men are outspoken allies of former President Donald Trump. The Tokyo Olympics fired the director of the opening ceremony a day before it takes place after a decades-old video emerged of him joking about the Holocaust. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees and Mets won. The Red Sox and Giants were also winners. The Nationals lost, and the Orioles lost, because that's what they do. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
So negative. All right. Thank you, Michael. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Why don't you just pass along a red headline that crossed the Bloomberg terminal a few minutes ago? Sources are telling Bloomberg News Chinese regulators are considering serious, perhaps unprecedented penalties for Didi Global after its controversial initial public offering last month. The sources say regulators see the ride-hailing giant's decision to go public despite pushback as a challenge to Beijing's authority. We'll continue following that as further developments coalesce here on Bloomberg Radio. In the meantime, let's bring in Brian Levitt this morning, senior investment strategist at Invesco, as we take a look at this modest rally, at least for futures contracts, seeing some pretty strong gains in Europe as well. Brian, good morning. Thanks for being with us. You know, with all these gains, we still have the inflation discussion before us. We certainly heard it at President Biden's town hall last night. Is that something investors are looking past right now, do you think?
Well, clearly the bond market seems to be looking past it. I mean, you see a 10-year rate below 130. It's not a bond market that's overly concerned about inflation. If you look at the break-even, so the difference between nominal yields and Treasury inflation-protected security yields, you see that there is expectation of inflation over the next year of greater than 3%, but coming down over the two-year, three-year, five-year period. And so that's a pretty bullish backdrop for equities because it suggests near-term inflation that should be supportive for corporate earnings, but fading rate of growth of inflation over time that should allow the Federal Reserve to remain accommodative.
What's your assessment of the earnings backdrop right now? And I'm thinking about a company like Unilever that's saying it's facing some of the worst price pressures it's seen since the global financial crisis, and that's affecting earnings, isn't it?
Well, the earnings backdrop is actually quite strong, as you would expect it would be because of the improvements we've seen in economic activity. So while there may be some concerns at individual company levels, if you look in the aggregate, it's likely or it already has been a pretty strong earnings environment. And so, you know, what ends up happening there for the businesses that are, you know, struggling with higher inputs, you know, the attempt will be in some instances to pass it on to consumers. You know, what's ultimately likely to happen is that we're likely to see demand moderate over time, and we're likely to see over time businesses be able to rebuild inventory, bring back workers. So this is a period of time in which we've unleashed a lot of demand that businesses weren't largely ready for. That should work its way out over time, but I would categorize it as a pretty robust earnings environment.
On the other side of the coin, we heard from Scott Minard over at Guggenheim. He's warning that the continued threat from Delta and the possibility of the Fed pulling back could send stocks down 15% by this fall. What about that?
Well, look, there's always an opportunity for a market drawdown or a market correction. And, you know, when you see long rates converge toward shorter rates, so what you would call a bull flattening, you've seen some of those types of pullbacks before. But look, I would say that, you know, if the Delta variant is going to slow this economy down, that means that the Federal Reserve is going to be more patient. And so if you think about it from a longer term cycle perspective, cycles end typically with significant policy tightening. And so I would argue that the Delta variant, which is going to likely slow the economy, even if that does lead to volatility in stocks or some type of drawdown, that is not the likely to be the end of the cycle. The end of the cycle comes with excess and Fed tightening. So, you know, in actuality, and I hate to even say it, but a slowdown in economic activity here could, in fact, extend this cycle.
Thanks for this, Brian. Good having you with us on this morning. That's Brian Levitt, senior investment strategist at Invesco. Karen.
Right, Nathan, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The Internal Revenue Service is proposing regulations that would require more businesses to file certain tax forms electronically. The National Labor Relations Board approved the use of an inflatable rat at union demonstrations, the agency rejecting an argument by its former general counsel that the use of the rat is an unlawful attempt to threaten and coerce neutral parties. A lawsuit filed in California charges that Activation Blizzard fosters a frat boy culture and female employees are subject to harassment, unequal pay, and retaliation.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story we're watching. Tom Barrack, the founder of Colony Capital and a former top fundraiser for Donald Trump, was arrested on charges of illegally lobbying for a foreign government, obstruction of justice, and lying to the FBI. Federal prosecutors allege that Barrack engaged in unlawful efforts to advance the interests of the United Arab Emirates in the U.S. at the direction of senior UAE officials. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to former federal prosecutor Jimmy Garrule, a professor at Notre Dame Law School.
This is what's called a speaking indictment. There's a lot of information and detail in it. What allegations struck you as particularly egregious?
Well, the ones I think that are the most troublesome is where Barrack is actually attempting to influence presidential appointments. You know, for example, the U.S. ambassador to the UAE, and where he's been asked by members of the UAE government to get information, inside information, on who the Trump administration is considering for key high-level government posts, such as the Secretary of State, the Director of the CIA, and some other high-level officials. And so what that demonstrates is that Barrack is actually acting, again, on behalf of the foreign government, but is not being transparent. And so the conflict here is he giving the former president advice that's in the best interest of the U.S. government, or, again, is he giving advice for the benefit of the UAE?
Does it seem like prosecutors have built a strong case against Barrack?
It's incumbent that the FBI and the DOJ have a very strong, compelling case, strong, credible evidence to convict. And what I find interesting about this indictment is it doesn't depend on percipient witnesses. It doesn't depend on, oh, we've got somebody over here and we're going to get this guy to flip and we're going to make promises that we'll dismiss charges if he cooperates and testifies. That's not this case. And of course, those types of witnesses, their credibility is always highly suspect. This is largely a document-based case based upon text messages and other types of communications that they've been able to download and hear the prosecutors detail multiple communications between Barrack and members of the UAE government officials and officials acting on behalf of the foreign government. These communications are multiple text messages, email communications, in-person meetings, and they're quite extensive. And so it'll be difficult to see what legal defense they raise in an effort to overcome what appears to be a very compelling case, at least on paper.
That's Jimmy Garrule, a professor at Notre Dame Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. And our top stories are straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.